Hello and Tobela. I am Tapelo Tiamo Leslie Molod, and I would like to take this moment to welcome you to Tiamo Blend.
What we'll be talking about today is technology in SA, as SA, I mean South Africa. I'm talking about South Africa is a country that has been creating great innovations for a long time, from the CAT scanner, which was invented by Alan Cormack, to the radar gun, or as everyone knows, the speed gun, which is, the speed gun, which is normally used by the traffic officers to trap people who are speeding along the highways, or besides speeding, just to check if you're meeting the road regulations. While other cute thing, we gotta also note that technology is vastly grown in these past years, as one can say. Not just looking at the breakthroughs we did in terms of the health sector and the breakthroughs. IT as a whole has really grown. It has different sectors in within itself, but I would say, because I'm talking about things like your software development, data analytics, and your hardware manufacturing. Looking at the hardware manufacturing, believe it or not, South Africa's research center from the Department of Science and Innovation, we are one of the research centers of the, which is formerly known as the Council for Scientific and Industrial Research, CSIR. A lot of people there in the physics departments, especially in varsity, always tell me that they always wanted to work at this research center. Okay, looking at this research center, believe it or not, or you can find out for yourself, is that they are actually responsible for the world's lithium batteries. These batteries are the ones we use within our cell phones and our laptops. It's kind of cool if you think about it, coming all the way from Zanzi and out to the world. And one of the key things I love about this research sector is always going on different projects to solve challenges being faced here in SA. You can even check on their website. They're always doing new projects and finding out new things. Like, for instance, one of the projects they have is whereby they created a roadworthiness app, whereby it allows one to report any type of roadworthiness. You're talking about your broken robots, which are not working, potholes, as we all know, we are always complaining about potholes in this country. And the downside to all this, to this app specifically, is that currently it's focusing on GP. As we know, GP is abbreviated for the Gauteng province. It's a downside for me. Now, looking at how the IT sector is all broadened, believe it or not, the IT sector here in South Africa is actually one of the largest ICT sector in the African market. Back in 2022, it was valued as at specifically $33.4 billion. You heard me, $33.4 billion, and it has been compounded that it will grow, compounded annual growth rate of 8.2%, which might reach around the value of $49.60 billion by the year 2027. Looks like we are not far from that. Well, from this, you can see that the ICT sector here in SA is actually one of a big significant contribution to the GDP. It's kind of cool because you never thought that such a simple sector would be bringing in so much money, not rents, but dollars. Okay. And we can even look at the key market players within this. Your key market players are your IBM, your Microsoft, Vodacom. These are one of the few key market players. I'm not saying they are the only key market players, but they are one of the few ones I can give off the tip. And what are the key things I would love to even note is that the South Africa's ICT goods and service sector, it's being used also to penetrate the African market. This is something which I always thought, all right, now African markets already have their own technologies, but I never thought that even here in SA, we play a crucial role. by growing other parts of the African market. That is kind of cool because it also shows one of the reasons why we were also included within the BRICS summit. That stands for South Africa, somehow is also a gateway to Africa as a whole. All right. Now, one of the key things you can look at while we're looking at the key market players, in this instance, I'm talking about IBM, is that back in March 2022, they had established a client engineering team here in SA with the Middle East for its customers and business partners. This team is the one which consists of designers, solution architects, data scientists, cloud engineers, here we go, and more. When I'm more, you know what I mean. Talk about the data people or the ICT people, you know. Well, these people literally work in an agile co-creation of the IBM technologies, whereby they're working on different projects for the IBM clients, and they make sure they finish them within 6 to 8 weeks. That's kind of cool because most of the time when you talk about projects, you don't really think there would be being something that can be done within, I'd say, 6 to 8 weeks. I'm thinking always sometimes 9 months or 6 months. Another key market player I would like to talk about now is the Vodacom. Is that in November 2022, it literally introduced a state-of-the-art patient engagement solution incorporating a computer aid emergency system dispatch for South Africa's public health sector. That's kind of cool because we know how the health sector is here in SA. We all know how it is, and we always want to see how we can find ways of using technology to not just help it, but make sure it advances and it makes things smoother and quicker. And one of the key things I liked about this is that it shows that Vodacom, as much as we know it as a telecommunications one, but it's also using its resources to help aid for different computer solutions that we need here in SA. Upon other advancements that we can look at, is that one of the key things we have done here in SA, talking about the fintech. When you say fintech, we're talking about the financial technologies, is that almost everyone in SA, to say today, can do that on your own research, but almost everyone has a smartphone, and in that smartphone, they have a banking app. And what I like also is that all everyone now can literally open a bank account using their phone now without having to physically go to the bank. You can literally now send money from one place to another using a banking app. We all know the downside is that sometimes when you ask people for a banking account numbers, they'll be sending you a picture of their card. I just want your card number. I don't want to see the picture of your card. Hi, some people. And I love that we have an active rollout of the 5G telecommunications. See that the telecommunications company are doing their work also too, making sure that we can get fast internet, even though we all have that thing of complaining about network issues. But I hope it gets solved at some point, or we as the people of the youth can come up with new solutions to solve this. Well, apart from these advancements and great things happening within the country, we all know there's always a significant challenges that need to be overcome. And luckily enough, we always see that these things are now seen everywhere. We all know there's a huge challenges that we need to face. For instance, the digital divide. As some people may know it as the digital gap, but it's true. There's a huge divide between us. As much as everyone in SA has some sort of mobile app or mobile phone to say, we literally have a digital gap in terms of skills and knowing how to use different digital devices. That's one of the key things that we are facing in SA. All right, let's get into it. Now, what I like talking about this digital gap, it's one of the few things I got to find out. Like, for instance, South Africa has various internet users. The nation boasted around 43.48 million internet users, showcasing an impressive penetration rate of 72.3% among its population, of which, when it was recorded back in 2022 during the census count, it was around 60.14 million. Now, the government aims to achieve universal web access for all its citizens. households. This would be kind of cool if you think about it, that if we were able to reach that each and every single household is able to access the internet, this will literally help to close up the gap, because when you know that you can find things using the web, it makes things a bit easier for one to do research and find out about what's happening. And most importantly, people will always do their content creation somehow. All right. Now, based off that, I also got to find out that 82.02% I mobile intern use their mobile internet to access the web. And this is estimated to reach a 92.36% in the year 2029. Well, looking at the stats, one of the reasons could be that the hardware devices like your smartphones are getting cheaper, unlike your laptop and your tablets. And now to get a nice laptop, it's really, really, really expensive, especially if you're like me, you're into programming or you're into web development or apps making. You really need a good laptop, and those things are expensive. And your tablets nowadays, it's expensive. I don't remember the last time I actually saw someone having a tablet. These things are not getting cheaper, only your smartphones. Yet, on the other hand, we also got a problem with data costs. Data here in SA is literally not cheap, I'm telling you. Especially when you get to look at other countries here in Africa. When you start comparing these two places, you can actually see that the data in SA is literally not cheap, it's expensive. So, let's look at the stats. For instance, if you right now, this is something I got Googled off from the internet. This dates my source dates back into August, the 13th of August 2023. One of the key thing if we can look into here is that when you look at the mobile prices of data, is they say data. For instance, South Africa's 1 gig data for Vodacom, 1 gig. Or let's just say 1 gig for Vodacom is 85 rand. 85 rand. Your MTN is also 85 rand. 1 gig. Telkom is 79. Cell C 65. But now when you look at Nigeria, look at MTN. In MTN, to get 1 gig in Nigeria is 25 rand. Like, come on, guys. We can talk about this. This is too much. Literally, there's a huge difference between the two. And you can see that they have Airtel as one of their telecommunications provider, and you can get 1 gig for 12 rand. And then if you look even further, when you look at the, for instance, another one, I'm just looking at the 1 gigs here. I'm not gonna go into much. If you look at your Kenya 1 gig from Telkom is 6 rand, guys. 6 rand 0.5. 6 cents. Telkom here, 1 gig is 78 rand, 79 rand. But in Kenya, you can get it for 6 rand. That's uncool. Like, I remember there was a time we used to talk about data must fall, data must fall. I don't know what happened, things just cooled off or what happened, but it's true. Data is expensive here in SA. It also builds up a huge divide between our digital gap. Those are one of the key things we can look at. And upon that, I'll also post a link to where you can see all the different mobile data prices across the world. It's really astonishing how expensive data is here in South Africa when we're comparing it to Africa. We're not talking about UK, not talking about any other place, just looking at other African continents. Because it's really weird how an MTN mobile, an MTN company that's here in SA operating, cost their data going around 85 rands. But yet, when you go out in other parts of Africa, like Nigeria, it's going around 25 rand. Doesn't make sense in my view. Yeah. All right. Well, looking at also these challenges, you can also go on to the education and skills. Well, we gotta be honest. The education system here in our country really needs to adapt to this demands in the digital economy and constantly growing fourth industrial revolution. Because there's a lot that's literally happening. Our system needs to literally start producing graduates which are relevant within the tech-related jobs or the economy market as where it's going. Because you can see every day there are a lot of graduates coming out of university systems, but not a lot of them actually can get into the job market. I'm not literally just saying everyone should start coding, but I'm saying people should at least be computer literate in so many ways. Okay, now, one of the key things we got to explore into is that there are literally opportunities for growth. The ICT sector or the IT sector literally has a lot of growth here in SA. I know I took it as a simple sector, but the reality is not as simple as it looks. There's some complexities, but LDS, there's a lot of growth within it, and it's going to grow either way. As much as we all know, we've been hearing from the government or as from the SONA speeches, so as the president always said about creating the smart city. The guy is ambitious, but there's always something about him I like about that. But now, let's look at this. Okay, believe it or not, the government has been working hard to fill certain skills gap by creating internships through the CETAs, which are looking at what is really truly in-demand skills that the country needs, looking at what's happening within the economy and the market, where things are going. What they do through these CETAs, they are looking for the graduates or the matriculants which will be literally meeting these those requirements so that they can offer them or upskill them through market so that they can get skills which are marketable. They're not literally looking through them. They just advertise these different CETAs, such as your bank CETA. Forgot a few. I just remember bank CETA from the back of my head. I don't know why, but those are the few things. We'll get into those ones in another time. But one of the key things also is that we have tech boot camps which also upskill people of South Africa, like WithinCode. Other key things I like about WithinCode is that you can literally apply just using your matric certificate. That's one of the key things I love about them. Just have your matric certificate, you apply, they give, if you meet, you get through their selection progress and you're a successful candidate, you get to work with them for 2 years, be a literally, is it software engineer or data scientist? Because what the key things they look at is Python. They teach you how to code in Python for 1 year, and then in another year, you work within different private companies to get that, as they say, experience. And another one, it's Umuzi. Umuzi is one that also does the same, but with this one, it's just that it's not only focusing on coding in Python. They have Java, they have data science. Was it data engineering last time I checked? And one more thing is that with them, it's literally a 1 year learnership whereby they upskill you, give you the necessary skills, and also give you some experience within different private companies. Another one to name would be Codex and Codespace. Well, these are literally great things. Another great things which are happening is through the Department of the Communications and Digital Technologies, whereby they have literally created a cybersecurity hub project, whereby their aiming is to create a cyberspace environment for all the South African residents to safely communicate, socialize, and interact in confidence within the World Wide Web. This is literally Security Hub aims to work with. It's not aims, it's working with stakeholders from the government, private sector, civil society, and the public with a view of the identifying and counteracting countering ways to block cybersecurity threats or overcome them. The aim is to create a secure cyberspace. The Security Hub, or as they say, Cybersecurity Hub, is a nice literally project which I hopefully aim that it becomes a success, because we all know As people say, the streets are not safe. Well, the internet streets now are not safe. And today you can be scammed. Tomorrow you can just find out money has been taken from your bank account. There's a lot of dark sides throughout using the internet, but we should always be safe, right? Another key thing is what they're doing will be the 4IR, as the fourth industrial PMO, project management office. This one is literally providing a range of current and future programs which they identify based on the different projects they have planned. These projects are literally, it's something of the key things they want to implement here in SA. Okay, now, the 8 key recommendations from the report which they should be responding to are divided into the following 8 chapters. These are the eight things which the Department of Communications and Digital Technologies should be looking into and should be responding to. Number one is investment in human capital. Number two, the establishment of an artificial intelligence institute. Now that for me would be a great thing if they did, because that way I believe it will allow people to know more about AI and know how to create it. And most importantly, how it can be beneficial to their everyday lives. Because it would be cool if we had one AI institution which was created by South Africa for South Africans. Okay, number three, the establishment of a platform for advanced manufacturing. Number four, to secure and avail data to enable innovation. It would be cool if we had secure and available data for such. Because again, as I said, data is expensive. If data is expensive to get, and also if we had access to data, would be awesome. Because a lot of people, especially in rural areas or developing townships someplace, is that not everyone knows which data to get to and what to really search for. The information is there, but people don't know which one to look for. Another thing, number five, would be an incentive future industries, platforms, and applications of the fourth industrial technologies. The fourth industrial revolution technologies. It would be cool if we had that, not just focusing only in corporates, but in agriculture and in your manufacturing sector. It would be kind of cool if such things were there. I'm liking that they're looking into this, building a fourth industrial revolution infrastructure. That's number six. That's cool because it's very much important. Cannot say you're living in the fourth industrial revolution, but yet your infrastructure is looking at the second one. It's not really cool the way. Number seven, the review and the amendment policy and legislation. That's number seven, meaning policy should be there that guides these things, because mostly we all know that anyone can use AI for different things. That's why it's important for cybersecurity to be implemented, because right now crime is might elevate or escalate to being digital platforms, and the reality is we are living at that part. Now, number eight, establish a fourth industrial strategic implementation coordination council. That's something really I would like to be a part of. Because the reality is, it's very much vital we had such here in SA, where we're looking at a council that will be looking at strategically implementing what's needed. And as we look at number one, and it's stated that investment in human capital, because we all know that in SA, there's a lot of human population. The population in SA is around 60 million. See? So if you are to all of a sudden automate everything using your AI, it's going to be hardsome, because we know that a lot of people do the normal day-to-day routines that you might want to automate. So those are the three key things you have to look at when implementing such strategies. Okay, after looking at all those different reports, key things that need to be recommended and need to be implemented here in South Africa, you can actually see that we need more than just people who can just know how to install Windows or create a website. Yeah, I'm not saying it's a bad thing to create websites, because it's cool. Oh, to install Windows, it's kind of cool. Okay, now, what other key things the government could do, or even people in the private sector, is by creating tech hubs or giving back into the community. Not just giving back in terms of giving back to charity work, but for instance, in terms of, we all know how a crucial role internet cafes has played. Because I know for myself, that's where one of the places I used to go to do my assignments while I was in high school, although sometimes even type them out. Because they do play a crucial role, because it's where I would also do research in terms of the different universities and what are the key application fees that they might need. So it would be also kind of cool if we had let's say, a place whereby, just like an internet cafe, but in this instances, it's whereby it's upskilling the people within different townships and it's educating them upon different ways of using the internet and how to be safe around it. Something that goes on throughout the year, something that skills people daily. Because most of the time when you walk around in the townships, a lot of people are sitting around. Some are doing content. It's not bad. It's good if it's bringing you some money. But also important if there was an environment whereby one could go there, sit, do listen to a course or go into using a computer there freely, do some coding on it, or as they say, a gaming space maybe, because it would be cool if you could game there and see that there's more to gaming, like learn how to code games. There's really game coding. That's one of the key things would be nice. A proper tech hub for people, not just to learn, but to also be able to give off information while interacting. Would be a safe environment, especially for the youth. That's one of the key things we gotta look into. You see, because if we look at that, maybe it might help bring down the crime rate. Because a lot of time when you ask people, why are you stealing? Why are you this? They say, I never went to school, so only money that I want. So that's the road they take. But initially, some of them, when you ask them that, would you really be willing to learn something new, they'll tell you that yes, there is. Problem is, there isn't. So a lot of people in the communities are willing to learn something new, especially if they can see how it can work for them in return. It's one of the key things that they could look at as the government in terms of the investment. You see, because we all know, hey, not everyone can afford a laptop, not everyone can actually afford that expensive tablet. And not everyone can actually go and pay for that boot camp. So that's one of the key things we should all think about at some point. If you have the money, you can talk to me, maybe. That's one of the key things I'll be looking off to creating at some point, you know? Actually got to see and enjoy. It was listening to the speech given by Angie during the SONA debate of her saying that they actually got to establish coding and robotics in schools. That's very much vital. Because we know, yes, it's not going to be easy for one to just say the government should change their curriculum overnight. As long as they're taking slow steps to implementing such, it's really good and vital. Because this thing will also show that I, for instance, since I know how to code, can go there and be a teacher and just code with the students. Because one thing you do know, we all know, is that children are curious and bright minds when you can to. They are curious and imaginative. So if one gets to tap into that creativity, there's a lot of beautiful things that we can create, especially from young ages. Another key thing that one we could also look at looking onto the future is how careers are constantly growing within the ICT sector. Because as I said, fintech has grown, which will mean somewhere, somehow, even cybersecurity is growing. People will find, have to find ways of blocking these things because we all know that we've received some sort of SMS saying you've won 123 to win this type of money. Give us your banking account, pa pa pa, your money's gone. That's why cybersecurity also plays a vital role. And another thing is data analytics, seeing which is needed and how stats is going using data and numbers. Cloud engineering is also growing hugely here in SA. One of the key things I like about the things which I'm stating that are growing, like your network engineering, cloud engineering, cyber security, data as a whole, fintech, and agricultural technologies is that these things cannot just be implemented here in South Africa. But if you have these skills, you can work almost anywhere in the world. That's one of the key things we love about this fourth industrial revolution, is that when you have such skills, you're not limited to work only in South Africa, but you can work almost anywhere in the world. You can even, if you are a certified cloud engineer who knows a lot of things and has the relevant experience, let's say for AWS, and you have like 3 or 4 years working it, you can find yourself working remotely for Amazon that's building a project there in Mexico. That's one of the key things I like about this. So Johan can say, from all the things that I've been able to give us the information, I hope you've learned a thing or two, and I'll be willing to enjoy to hear feedback from everyone. I hope it's good. So I can say, hope you had an enjoyment, and enjoy your day, enjoy your night, have a good evening. From Tiamo Blend, I'm out. Peace.